Hello, dear listeners of the Stay Forever podcast. I'm here today with Eric Chahi. So, Eric, let's start with an introduction for our audience. Who are you and what was your role on the creation of Heart of Darkness?
I'm a game designer. I've created games since 1983 for Amstrad, Auric, and one game was Another World before Heart of Darkness. On Heart of Darkness, my role was game designer. I worked on the scenario, on the art direction, and I made many 3D lighting and texture on the game. And I also code the AI of the game with a script language. I lead the creative side of the game.
So you did a lot of different jobs on that game. And I think with the game that you did before, Another World, you pretty much did the whole game by yourself, except for the music. How did you learn to do all these different things that are required to create a game?
The learning, it has been progressive, because when I started in the 80s to program, I was at school. I was 15, 16, and I just wanted to create games. I learned basic language with a friend and a mathematic teacher. And then I created the graphics, but it was very simple. So my skill evolved progressively with the evolution of the technology, because I started on 8-bit computer where there were very few colors on screen, and the same for the coding. And I had to create many tools for each game. Usually I created one or two tools to create the graphics, to compose the animation. So the knowledge accumulate over time. And in 1987, I was doing everything, but I had to do a choice, because that was the time of the Amiga, and the 16-bit computer has a lot of more graphics capacity. Mm-hmm. And it was more challenging in terms of coding. So I felt that I can't do both at the same time. And I go to a French company named Chip to create only graphics and animation. Because what I was doing before was working at home, creating at home, and going to a publisher and saying, are you interested to publish this game? Yes. And then had an agreement and they sell the game and I get some money back. When I went to Chip, I was salary. And after 1 year, I go back to independent again as a graphic artist to work on Future Wars. And that was just before Another World. And so I improved my skill, my graphic skill during that time. And then I go back to programming for Another World. So yeah, that's a bit how I evolved to have the right skill for Another World.
Another World belonged to a genre that's called cinematic platformer. And that's the same genre you used for Heart of Darkness. And I guess you took a look at Another World and thought to yourself, okay, this worked well and this part did not work so well. What did you keep as a foundation for Heart of Darkness, and in which areas you thought you could make a better game with Heart of Darkness?
That's a tricky question, because the technology always evolve over years. After Another World, I could create another game with the same technology as Another World, another game on the Amiga. But the PC world was coming, and especially the 3D graphics was coming at that time in 1992. So I just want to keep having cinematics, having good animation. But at the very beginning, I wanted to create vector animation for Heart of Darkness. But after 6 months, we decided to leave vector animation because there were more memory on PCs. And the CD-ROM technology was coming too. So you can play video directly from the CD-ROM. So the technology changed the way to create graphics, but we want to keep the same spirit with a cinematographic feeling. And so the key point was no information on the screen, no score, just the character and the adventure. But going to computer graphics was a big challenge because it demands so much work and tool to master. We use 3D Studio 4 and decide to don't follow the trend of computer graphics, which was mainly spaceships or very high-tech things that are very shiny and relatively easy to do in computer graphics. But we create natural environments. That was a lot of challenge. So the first year or years was mainly to create the tools, to master the existing 3D tools to create the game. And one thing that was put aside was use of a script language. For another word, I developed a script language that made it easy to create gameplay with it. It was really easier than assembly language or even C language. But I didn't realize how much easier it was with a script language. So when we start Heart of Darkness, we thought that we can code the old gameplay with C language. But in the end, it was problematic. And 3 years later, we create a script language to finish Heart of Darkness. But we developed many, many, many tools for Heart of Darkness. I don't know if I have to enter into some detail, but it could be interesting.
Oh, yes, please. I mean, it's interesting that you worked for several years without the script language. Just tell us what kind of tools you developed.
Well, it was a strange time because we switched to CD-ROM and we thought that everything were possible with CD-ROM because we can store a lot of data on a CD-ROM. We thought that everything would be possible, but the read rate of the data on a CD-ROM was very slow. And we had to develop our own algorithm to compress all the cinematics on CD-ROM. So we developed compression techniques. It took maybe 6 or 8 months for one person to do this correctly. We also developed a tool to create all the sprite animation. It's a tool where you can assign some logic to a frame and say this frame can go to this frame. Let's say that your ND character is walking and then suddenly you want him to run or to jump. Most of the games at the time just launch the jump animation without any kind of transition. So it's not like an animation movie. It's not very fluent. And what we did is that we can switch if we say that, okay, it's half the run. And now there is the instruction to jump. So we can link the best keyframe to do the correct transition. This has been used for all the 2D animation. Christian Robert, who did all the 2D animation, created thousands of animations to have the right transitions. That's why the game has so fluent animation when you control the character. So we developed this tool and also an audio tool to sync the voice on the cinematics. And we developed the core engine to work with the different operating systems. We start on DOS, then we switch to Windows 95. We start to develop on the Sega Saturn, and then it was a question to create the game on the Philips CDI, but we never wanted to do the game on this computer. It dies before we released Heart of Darkness in 1998, and we finished the game on Windows with DirectX and on PlayStation 1. Another tool that was a great tool was a tool to paint on 3D objects. Today, there is 3D Painter, or you can create your texture on a 3D model. But at that time, it was not existing at all, so we developed a tool for this. That was very important because of the natural look of the object. So it was very difficult to know where a pixel on a 2D texture will end on a 3D object. That's it for the tools, for the first part of the development. And then later we develop, as I said, a script tool to code all the game logic.
You already mentioned that you later started porting the game to the Saturn, and there also was talk about a CDI version. But when you started in the early 90s, the PC was not really a platform that was famous for its platform games. But I guess there was no console at the time that could be the right platform for Heart of Darkness, right? So that's why you went for PC only in the beginning.
Yes, and we clearly wanted to create a CD-ROM game. The PC at the time was a platform for everything. You can find a game like Prince of Persia on PC, so there were some platformers anyway. So it was an emerging market at the time. And Another World sold well on PCs.
For Heart of Darkness, you founded a new development studio, Amazing Studio. Can you tell us about how many people worked on Heart of Darkness overall? And how did it change the way that you worked, having done Another World alone before and now that was a team effort?
The core team is 5 people. Inside Amazing Studio, we were around 10 and 12 at full production, with 3 extra audio people that were outside of the company. So let's say something like 15 for the creative team at the maximum. So that was a big move personally to work with a team. The core team share the decisions and then the scenario we discuss together. And so everybody has different role in the core team. So naturally, we share the decisions. I was more on the creative side and a bit on the business side. And Frederic Savoie was on the programming, but also on the communication and production side with publishers. One thing that was not natural for us was the production. We didn't have really a producer inside the team. And in the end, I think it was one thing that has missed in development, having a full-time producer to anticipate the need and to see where are the risks and find solutions.
So you think it would have helped if you had a producer on the project?
Yes, and the concept of producer was not natural at all at the time because many people were indies and working by themselves. We had a producer, but he was outside of the team. He worked at Virgin, so we met him every 2 weeks or every month, and that was not enough to keep track of everything. We had a hard time in 1996. Because Virgin leave the project, so we have to find another publisher.
Wasn't it really hard for you guys to even continue working on the game? Because I think you kind of needed the funding from Virgin, right? This must have been very difficult.
Yeah, that's funny because when Virgin leave the project, it was really on good track to be finished. Meaning that the game was almost finished when we switched to another publisher. Several reasons that Virgin left Heart of Darkness. Because it doesn't happen in one day. It happens progressively. So in 1995, that was the first E3. And at this E3, it was the time where the movie industry get a lot of interest in video games. And when we presented Heart of Darkness on Virgin's booth, we showed all the cinematics and the first 2 levels, but what was not at the same gameplay quality as the final ones. And everybody wanted to see the game. A lot of interest. So Steven Spielberg came, George Lucas, and all the Hollywood people came on E3. Not only to our booth, but it was a part of the hype. And after that moment, Martin Halper, the president of Virgin US, wanted to create a movie based on Heart of Darkness. And the game was not finished yet. So during this year, 95, we were finishing all the cinematics. And in 1996, 1 year later, the game was not really there yet. We have some difficulties And Virgin US first give up, and Virgin UK continue to believe in Heart of Darkness. So we had this mixed support, and Virgin started to have a financial issue. So having a game where it's not clear when it will be finished and starting to having financial trouble is not good. So mid-1996, when Martin was very clear about that you have to do something or we will kill your project, it's at that time we decide to create a script language, as I did on Another World. And in less than a year, we finish all the levels. And it is at that point that Virgin UK give up. So we found Infogram, a French publisher at that time. For us, that was a good move. It was very scary. But when we go to Infogram, we can show almost all the levels being finished. And they say, okay, we buy your game. And not only we buy your game, but we will put marketing on it when we release it. So that was all benefit for us.
Eric, you mentioned that in the mid-90s, the movie industry became more and more aware of games as a medium as well. And you had George Lucas and Steven Spielberg come over and take a look at your game. If we look at Heart of Darkness, even from a perspective in 2020, it seems pretty much like a playable animated movie. And I guess there was different influences on you personally and also as you as a team coming from different sources of movies or literature or art that had its effect on the game. Are there any like main external influences that you can name for Heart of Darkness?
Yeah, the big influence was Disney movies and especially one movie, Rescuers Down Under. In this movie, there is two key elements that has been influential for Heart of Darkness. The kid that goes to an adventure in Australia. And there is an absolutely incredible introduction in this movie. So we want to have this flavor. The universe is absolutely different. There is this flavor of quality of animation and music. The music was composed by Bruce Broughton. And it was a dream for us to have this kind of music. And finally, Bruce Broughton worked on Heart of Darkness. And Tim Burton has been an influence too. And all these movies where it's a bit scary, but not really, like the Gremlins and the Goonies. And for the art, Christian Robert, who did the animation, he did also the graphics. He designed each screen. He has been highly influenced by Moebius. So if you look at his sketch, it has really the touch of Moebius style.
You mentioned the Disney movies and Gremlins and Goonies and said like you wanted to do something which is dark and a little bit scary, but not really. But I think at sometimes the game is there's this topic of darkness, which plays a big role and Andy can get killed in a lot of ways by these shadow creatures. Did you ever think about what the audience for the game was? Did you try to make a game for young people or should it be more for adults? I think the game is really like in between, you know, you have a young hero and it's a little bit scary, but sometimes I think it's really dark and gloomy.
Yes, it was for adults and kids around 10, maybe started at 10. But we create a game for ourselves first. Something where you would love to play as a kid and as an adult. And the thing that is scary is the death of Andy because it's cartoony, but you can really see Andy being smashed and reduced into pieces by creatures. But there is no blood. So it's on the edge. It can be really violent in some way. And especially with the audio, you have all the crunch noise of the bones. Sometimes it's almost comical, the way it's done by the cartoony style. So it's not like a Tex Avery, but it's a bit a darker Tex Avery style.
You know, this one element that really reminded me of another game, especially early in the game, you often get this cutscene when Andy gets thrown off the cliff by a shadow creature, you have this short cutscene of him falling down. Did you ever like play Dragon's Lair at some point in time?
Yes, Dragon's Lair has been a big influence for Underworld. It gave me the idea to create a game with flat color and polygons. And the animation, yeah, I really love the animation of Dragon's Lair. And the cinematic when Andy falls at the beginning of the game and later too, it is not the best thing in the game because when you die often, it is a bit repetitive. And especially with the music. So let's speak about the difference between Underworld and Heart of Darkness, because both have cinematics, but the use is very different. Well, there is an introduction cinematic in both cases, but later in the game, the cinematics in Underworld are more used as punctuation into the action. And in Heart of Darkness, cinematics are used as a story part between levels. And the falling scene at the beginning of Heart of Darkness, when you die, is a cinematic punctuation. But this one don't work so well. And there is later another punctuation. Again, you climb on a skeleton and then the wall is exploding with beasts arriving into the scene. And one of the monsters take the gun of Andy and eat this gun. So that was typically a punctuation inside the gameplay like it is in another world. In that sense, Heart of Darkness is more a classical platformer than another world. Another world blends more of the cinematics and the gameplay.
Let me get back to kind of like the atmosphere of the game for a second. When did you decide, or why did you decide to put the Amigos in the game, which show up after about a third of the game, I think? Are they there to lighten the tone and make it a more happier game than it would have been without them?
From the beginning, we wanted to have an Amigo in the game. And yes, it's the bright side of this world. And we wanted to have it a bit crazy, and especially the old wise man. But there is a sequence in the game where you have this old Amigo. He's smoking. He's showing a drawing of his wife nude. And for this reason, we got incitation to drugs and nudity. And there is also hurt on animals because of the creature, vicious servant, that is absolutely bad with whiskey, the dog. So yeah, the idea was to create different colors of characters.
The whole idea of the shadows and the darkness, I mean, there's so much in the game which names include darkness, like the Dark Land, the Master of Darkness. Would you say that this is kind of like the main topic of the game, the way that we as humans perceive darkness, or that we also are afraid of the darkness itself?
Yeah, that was the first synopsis we presented to Virgin, an adventure game where a kid is afraid of the dark and he has to go in a world where the darkness is prominent and he has to face his fear in some way. So yes, that's the starting point.
One of the Amigos falls on the lava floor and he gets transformed into one of these flying shadows. Is it the way that all those flying shadows were created in the story of the game, that they have all been previously Amigos which got transformed into these creatures?
It is not said clearly, but this scene says it. And for me, it is clear that all shadows were normal creatures, at least for the flying ones. Yeah.
As you are already speaking about stuff that the game does not really say, there's this really interesting ending to the game, which heavily implies that it's all been Andy's dream because he's back to his treehouse and Whiskey is back and everything seems fine. So you'd think it was a dream, but then afterwards you get these cutscenes of the Amigos playing with the parts of Andy's spaceship and having the servant of the Master of Darkness captured. So did you want to leave this open to interpretation, or is there some clear message what's right and wrong in terms of was it a dream of Andy or not?
Well, it is open. This scene with the Amigo and the spaceship and the servant, it could be again in the imagination of Andy. But, well, it's open. And the end in the darkness where Andy is fighting his fear. Indeed, he was almost killing his dog because he strikes everything in the darkness. So there is something symbolic to the end. But maybe it's only his imagination, and what he imagines is his fear is more dangerous than the darkness itself in the end.
Heart of Darkness took a long time until it came out, and during that time, gaming as a whole changed with transition to 3D graphics, with the launch of PlayStation and Saturn and all these other systems. Did you get afraid at some point that the game, being a very traditional 2D platforming game, might not be as well received in 1998 as it might have been a few years earlier?
Yes, it has been the case. When the game was released, we get some criticism about the graphics that was low resolution and was not 3D. But it's true that it was not easy to release it at the time. And when the PlayStation 1 was announced in 1995, and we saw a demo on Sony's booth, the famous demo with a T-Rex in 3D. Wow. And we were with 2D screen and a small sprite animation on the screen. And okay. But, well, we had the advantage of it is not real-time rendering, so we can go for the rendering quality. The real-time 3D at the time was not beautiful, but many people was expecting this kind of game because it was new.
Despite the criticism that you guys got for the graphics when it was released, I think it still worked pretty well on the market, right? I've read about 1.5 million copies were sold. Was that like a number that you were expecting, or did you expect it to sell more or less?
That's a huge number. It was much more than what we were expecting. So it has been a commercial success.
Did you ever think about doing a sequel at this time with Amazing Studio?
No, because after 6 years of work, the team was tired, very tired. And me too. Because I created Futuras, Another World, Art of Darkness in a row without taking some rest. So I need to take some time, and most of the people in the team was really tired too.
You took quite a break then until 2011 when you released From Dust.
Yes, and that's the time of the release, but I started to work before.
Did you also work on it for 6 years, or was it a little bit quicker?
I started to work on From Dust in 2006. And between Heart of Darkness, I made a lot of trips. I code some stuff about sound, a tool to create digital sound, but nothing that could be sold, not something commercial at all. It was in 2005 I wanted to create a game again, so 5 years later.
And how long did you work on Paper Beast, your game that got released in 2020?
Well, it's special because after From Dust, maybe 5-4 months after From Dust, I started to prototype stuff with Unity. And then I switched to another project, which was a Volcano project. So I worked 2 years on a Volcano project with a colleague which worked on Paper Beast after. So Paper Beast, I started to work on it with a team on 2016. And I worked maybe 1 year on this project before. So yes, it has been a long project to create, a 4-year project in team and 5 years for me.
Seeing that it's a virtual reality game, it's very different to the cinematic platformers that you did in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But if you think about these times, I know it has been stressful and a lot of work, but is it something that you still care about? And could you imagine going back to this genre at some point? Because nowadays people love 2D graphics when it's nicely done. And I think the market and the interest is still there for this kind of game. So
yeah, it's true, but I don't know exactly what I will do next. But 2D games is something that is very interesting. It's very interesting to don't have a constraint to think about what the player is looking at that you have to manage in a 3D game, and especially in a VR game. With a 2D game, you have everything on the screen, and it's something very interesting to communicate a universe or a story in a different way to the player.
Thank you so much, Eric, for taking the time to speak with us. Have a great day and goodbye.